Well, since the last time we met, we've changed years and entered into a brand new year. A new and fresh start and a new beginning that God has brought us to. And last year's history is behind us. And what is important and really important in our lives? And what do we really need for this year? And those of us that have been meeting together have known that the thing that I have mentioned for several times has been relationship. And it seems that just God dropped that in my heart again this week. But He added something to it. It's not only relationship with God, but it's relationship with one another. And the word relationship is the quality or state of being related or connection. The quality of being or the state of being related or connection. In Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus made a statement. He said to His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." The Amplified Bible puts it this way. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to be My disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interest, and take up his cross and follow Me. Cleave steadfastly to Me, conform wholly to My example in living, and if need be, in dying." And then the Message Bible said, "Anyone who intends to come with Me has to let Me lead. You are not in the driver's seat." Hallelujah. "I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow Me and I will show you how." You know, that verse of Scripture, which we have read all these years, is a tremendous verse of Scripture. Because Jesus said, if any man will come after Me, he must deny himself. And the Amplified Bible says, disregard, lose sight of, and forget his own self and interest, and take up his cross and follow Me. You know, it's human nature for us to want to defend ourselves. That's human nature. It's human nature for us to want to come to our own defense. But when we begin to look at what Jesus has said, that we are, that He is our example. He is the one that we are to follow. And I haven't listened to any of them this year because I haven't heard them, but I haven't had time to. But I'm sure there's many prophecies that have been given concerning this new year. And we've all heard them in the past. And I've got to be quite honest, I don't know that any of them have ever come to pass. You know, the fact of the matter is that God is calling us into relationship with Him personally. And out of that personal relationship, then our relationship with each other changes. We look around and it doesn't take us far to find churches that have split. Christians that are spewing nothing but hatred and grudges and going to church and not even speaking to each other. You turn on the TV, you listen to some of the people on TV, the ministers on TV. What are they spewing? Condemnation, judgment. And if you want to come down to the reality of it, it's actually hatred toward creation. But yet we serve a God who this Bible that we have been given over and over and over and over states emphatically, God is love. And that word love in the Greek is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. Jesus Christ came and was birthed of a virgin, lived on this earth, identified with His creation, died on the cross of Calvary, said it is finished. He entered once and for all into that heavenly holy of holies and presented his blood one time for the sins of the whole world. No one was excluded. No one was excluded. The Bible says it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not imputing. That word means not keeping a record of our sins. And yet how many times through the years have we have heard that God keeps a record? But he said, not keeping a record of our transgressions. God so loved unconditionally the world that he gave his uniquely begotten, only begotten, uniquely begotten, which he was uniquely begotten. He was born of a virgin, son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And every child can quote that. But we stop there. He did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. You see, the relationship with God and man is a relationship of love. And here he says we deny ourselves, we forget our own interest, we lose sight of and forget ourselves. What does it matter if this world is against you? Because it was against Christ. And Jesus made the statement, he said that you're in the world, but that you're not of the world. You see, the reality of it, and we've said it over and over again, that first of all, God created man a spirit. We are spirit beings first and foremost. That's what he did in Genesis 1:27. It says there he took of himself, that word that he formed man, he cut down, he took of himself, and he created man in his own image. And then in the second chapter, he formed this that you see. And he breathed into that he had created in chapter 1, his spirit. And man became a living soul. And the relationship has always been a spiritual relationship. But then the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And he said, as I have loved you, so love you one another. So not only is the relationship with God one of unconditional love, but the relationship with each other is one of unconditional love. You know, it is easy for us, and I think we've all probably known people like that all they want is something new to hear. They want some new prophecy, some new word, something that they haven't heard before. And they want that. And then when they hear that and they've heard it for a while, they want to go on something else. But look, this word, bless God, has to be walked out in our lives. This word, you can't do it. You know, they tell us, you know, you need to change. You can't change within yourselves. Change comes from a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That's where change comes. As we grow in Him. And in Galatians, if you look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, and now in the 19th verse, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, work, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such of the which. So, the works of the flesh are all of these things that we see in this life. But then he goes on and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit You see, he didn't say these are things that you can produce. But the fruit of the Spirit is first what? Love. And that love is unconditional love. And that fruit of the Spirit is something that you and I cannot produce on our own. That love is unconditional. Jesus said if he hits you on one side, the cheek turns the other. If he asks for your cloak, give him your coat also. If he asks you to go a mile, go the second mile. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's not natural. That doesn't come out of, that all comes out of this realm of the works of the flesh. What we want to do is sock them up against the head or knock them into tomorrow. But relationship with God demands unconditional love for creation. Oh, it's easy for us to stand up and say, oh, I love God, how I bless Him. But then there's that person next to us is like a piece of sandpaper that is rubbing us wrong. And the thing we want to do is wring their neck or put them out or do something with them. That's natural. But the spirit man in relationship with God, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he tells us to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the metamorphosis, the renewing of the mind. And we studied that out in the Word. It says, out of the heart the mouth speaketh, and then it speaks of the soul. But if you look up the Greek, the word heart and soul in the New Testament is the same. It is that which is between our two ears. And our two ears are transformed by the metamorphosis or the renewing of our mind, by the Word of God that speaks within us. This love is birthed out of a relationship with God. It's an unnatural love in this life. It's not the natural love that we know between us, because that love can change. Because if you don't treat me right, then that love can change. But God's unconditional love, hallelujah, is constant. It never changes. You see, God's commandment, and it's only one of two. He gave us only two. Jesus gave us two commandments. When they came to him and said, Father, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, first of all, you love God with everything that you are. And second of all, you love your neighbor as yourself. And he made that clear when the man says, well, who is my neighbor? And he told the story of the Good Samaritan, which the Samaritans in the New Testament were the dogs, the scum of the earth, the lowest of the lowest. And here was the Levi, here was the priest, here was the religious crowd came and looked down and passed over. But the Samaritan came. And he got down in the ditch. He poured in the oil and the wine. He bound up his wounds and he put him on his own donkey. He carried him to the end. He said, when I come back, I'll give you this. If I owe you any more, I'll pay you on my return. And Jesus said, now which one was the neighbor? Certainly not the religious crowd, because they looked on and passed by on the other side of the road. But the dog, the scum of the earth, the lowest of the lowest, the one who was looked down on by all the religious community, that was the one that was the neighbor, because that one had the unconditional love. So when Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, does not mean, he did not say that if you're like-minded, or if you believe the same, or if you walk the same, or if you dress the same, or if you cut your hair the same, or if you don't wear this, or do wear this, or you do this. No. He was saying that love all my creation unconditionally as I have loved you. So the fruit of the Spirit that the Spirit produces is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You see, those are the things. That is the relationship with one another comes out of that. You can't do that. There's not one of those you can produce. You can go around and say, I love you, but let something happen. And you'll find out that that was not unconditional love. But that kind of love only comes out of, hallelujah, relationship with the Father. We talked about the Feast of Tabernacles, how that God, one of the parts of the Feast of the Tabernacles, that they were to go out and build individual booths and sit in that booth with God. God's called us apart to come to have relationship with Him. These gatherings, we need these. We need to come together with one another and to fellowship with one another. But beloved, true spiritual growth only can come individually as we spend time with Him. And you see, the reason we can come and spend time with Him is because Ephesians 1 says that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Think of that. Ephesians, the first chapter, I think it's the fourth verse, says we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Before you and I even came into this world, we were chosen in Him. Let me just go back and read that. Oh, you got it. Okay. Ephesians 1. And, let's start at verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," that's past tense, "has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath," past tense, "chosen us in Himself before the foundation of the world." And how did He choose us? "That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now, when you read that, where is there anywhere in there that says, you got to do it? You see, that's it. People get them and say, oh, this Christian life is so hard. It's not hard when you realize that first of all, God is dealing with us on a spiritual plane. We are a spiritual individual. That this flesh will only be dealt with when the manifestation of the sons of God comes. Now that doesn't give us the license to go out and do the things that that the world does. That's not it. That's not what I'm saying. Because first of all, if you know Him and you're walking in relationship with Him, you're not going to want to do that. You're not going to want to go out and do the things like them. You're going to want to walk with Him. And what happens? When a baby is born, the first thing the baby desires is a sincere milk, the milk. The baby wants milk. It's not able. So when a person comes to Christ, what is the first thing they want? Is the milk of the Word. What does a baby do when it starts to walk? It falls down. You get it up and it walks on. That's the way it is with us. Does God reject us when we fall down? No. You see, we've got to understand that our relationship with God is based on love. It doesn't matter what all the grandiose prophecies that have been given in the world concerning the year 2011 means. If we don't go to the simple foundational principles of God's Word and begin to grow in grace and knowledge, and to walk in the fullness of what God is speaking to us, then we can just throw it all out. We've got to be changed, and that change comes from the inside. You know, I used to be the one, and I've said it before, I used to preach a clothesline religion. My wife had to bear the brunt of that. She had to look the part of what I thought was a Christian woman. But God showed me that we're not under the law anymore. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for grace, amazing grace that saved our soul. I'm thankful for grace that is God's unmerited favor to us. I'm thankful for a relationship with a Father that loves us, that cares for us, that knows and understands everything that we walk through, who chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world. One that has so prepared a pathway for us. He said, He that began a good work is going to complete it. And what is happening in this relationship with Him is that we're changing our understanding of who He is. He's not that angry old man sitting on the throne that's just waiting anxiously to throw you in some hell somewhere. He is that loving Father, that good shepherd. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was the one that said that if there were 99 in the fold and one out on the mountain astray, He would leave the 99 and go get that one and bring it, hallelujah, back into the fold. That's a picture of our Father. His love, His mercy for us. Even His predestination, that He has predestinated us. He called us before the foundation of the world. He loved us before we was even born. He told one of them, He said, I saw you while you were in your mother's womb. He is the one that knows the end and from the beginning. And He is the one that has gathered and called us unto Him for relationship. Not to condemn us, not to judge us, but that we may grow up into Him. That's what Paul said in Ephesians. He said He set the fivefold ministries, the preachers, the pastors, and all of those in the church for the edifying of the body of Christ. The building up of the body of Christ. When you gather together, it is for the building up of the body of Christ. Not the condemnation, the judgment, or to destroy, but to build up till we all come in the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, if you come to me, you deny yourself. You lose sight of yourself. It doesn't matter if somebody wants to humiliate you. You turn the other cheek. That doesn't mean you become a wuss. That's not what He's saying there. He means that your spirit is being changed. In John the 15th chapter, and I'm sure that we're all familiar with those verses, He's talking about the vine. He said, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, He's not talking about you going out here and winning souls. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about that He prunes every branch that beareth fruit, that it may bear more fruit. What fruit is He talking about? He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That you bear that fruit. He said, abide in me and I in you. Abide in Him. That song, that old song of the church used to sing years ago. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. He said, my peace I give you, hallelujah, not as the world gives you, but my peace, a peace that abides in Him in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the realities of life. He says, my peace I give you. You see, that's what He wants to give us. He's the one that stood up on the ship in the midst of the storm when the disciple says, Lord, save us. And looked at the storm and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. We've never known a natural storm that has ever stayed. The most severest of hurricanes have passed away. The most severest of thunderstorms have all gone. They don't stay. And the storms that pass our lives do not stay. We may think sometime, Lord, when is this storm going to be gone? When is this crisis going to be over? When will I see the light of day again? But if we abide in Him, we will be as the woman, the Shulamite woman in the Psalm of Solomon. It said of her, "Who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved?" We will come to the understanding that He and He alone can give us the strength to walk through the storms, to walk through the realities of this life, and to come out on the other side, leaning on our beloved, loving not only our Father, but loving creation as He loves creation. I certainly had planned to get a lot further than this, but I want to work on this again next week and continue this. But I want to end with this one verse of Scripture. Well, actually, I want to end with two verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own?" The Bible says that we have been bought with a price, that we're not our own. So we are the dwelling place of the Almighty God. When you speak to Him, you don't have to holler and to somebody that is out there in the wild blue universe. But He's as close as the breath that you breathe. He's closer than anyone that we have ever walked with before, because He lives within us. We are His dwelling place, and He lives within us. And in Psalms 46:10, the psalmist made the statement, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And I love the Message Bible. It says simply, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at Me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Step out of the traffic. Step out of whatever is going on in your life at this time. And be still. And know, hallelujah, that I am God. I am the Creator of everything that you see, of all of the universe. I am the Creator, and everything that was created by Me and for Me, and there was nothing created except I did it. And not only that, you were created in love. You are birthed in Him before the foundation of the world. And He said, be still. Step out of the realities of life. Step out of what is going on. And come into relationship with Me. Hallelujah. Let Me show you My love for you. And then in turn, out of you can flow My love into all of creation. If you love Him and you know the true unconditional love of God, then you can begin to love creation. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, you realize that their dealings have to be with their Father, but your dealings with Him. Forget yourself. Take up your cross and walk on. God's got a purpose. God's got a people. God's got a first fruits that are hearing His voice in this hour, that are walking to the beat of a different drummer, that it doesn't matter that the church spews judgment and condemnation and they're religionists and rob those people with promises of giving them thousands of dollars or hundreds of times over what they give. What does matter is that our relationship with Him in this year begins to translate to our relationship with each other. That our relationship with Him hallelujah, begins to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And the greater our relationship with Him, the greater the depth of the power of the fruit that flows into creation. So we walk away from all of the things that are in this life. As Moses saw the burning bush, he said, I will turn aside and see this. We turn aside from the realities of this life, and we come into relationship with Him, and we begin to hear His still small voice. On the mountain, the prophet, the fire passed by, the earthquake passed by, the wind passed by, the storm passed by. But then came the still small voice of God. Hallelujah. And we learn to know His voice. There's no fear in God. There's no confusion in God. If what you hear brings fear, it's not of God. If what you hear brings confusion, it's not of God. There's no fear, there's no confusion, there's peace. Calm, gentle peace as the wind of the Spirit blows through our lives. Hallelujah. What a wonderful and magnificent God that deserves all of our praise. Lord willing, we'll get to continue this next week. Father, we thank You. We bless You. We praise You that You love us with unconditional love, that You chose us in Yourself even before the foundation of the world, and that as we begin to walk in this new year, Father, may we turn aside and be still, come out from all of the traffic, all of the hustle of this world, and come before You and allow You to minister to our lives, to speak to us in the very depths of our spirit, that we may in turn begin to show forth to this world Your love, Your mercy, and Your concern for all of Your creation. Father, thank You this morning that we've had this opportunity to come and to look into Your Word. Father, bless and minister to each one that Your purpose is being accomplished in each life here. We praise You, Lord, for Your hand is upon each life, and Your love is upon each one of us. No matter how severe the storms that we're facing, or the night, or the mountain, or whatever it may be, You are the one that has the power to bring us through it. You have promised that there is no temptation that cometh to us that is not common to man, but what that You will make a way that we may be able to bear it. Your grace is sufficient. We can say with the great apostle that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. We bless You and we praise You, Father. Amen. Amen.